It's April 10th, and it's day four of the trial, the Montreal riot trial, where three people who are charged with a participation in a riot, and I'm here speaking with Jaggi Singh. Jaggi, could you tell me what happened on day two in the afternoon when Sergeant Detective Provencher, he was looking at the video?
Yeah, Detective Provencher was the official with the police who took a video of the demonstration. The video, interestingly, doesn't have any audio. It's taken, it's an aerial view of the demonstration. It's basically a surveillance tape, and it really doesn't give a flavor at all of what the demonstration was about. One thing, though, to keep in mind is that the video is the main piece of evidence that the Crown has in this case. The jury didn't react at all to the video. There's absolutely nothing in the video that's particularly shocking or surprising. You see a demonstration, you see people dancing, you see riot police reacting at one point. There's nothing particularly shocking, and at this point, I think the jury is going through a mixture of boredom and confusion. They're bored just by sitting in a courtroom for hours at a time like anyone would be, and they're also confused because I think they're waiting to see some evidence of major criminality. You know, they're sitting in a jury in the Palais Justice for 3 weeks where people judge murderers and rapists and things like that, and they're waiting to see real criminality, and they haven't seen it. And far from that, through our cross-examination of witnesses like Provencher and others, we've managed to cast a lot of doubts. But he was simply there to show the video. It was the next witness, Laplante, who...
Was that not Morneau? Lieutenant Detective Morneau?
That's right. And Detective Morneau was there. And he's a senior officer with the Montreal Police. He testified, and one admission we got from him was that he wrote notes about what happened in the demonstration almost 1 year afterwards. So, and you know, he's a senior official, and I asked him, is that normal? He goes, no. I go, would you tell one of your junior officers, a constable or something, to wait for a year before writing notes about a demonstration? He says, no. And he admitted he made an error. But it does cast doubt on their case, because you have a senior officer who's writing notes a year afterwards because he's asked by the investigating officer where he starts writing things about myself, which begins, again, to cast doubt on what the whole purpose of this trial is. Is it really to go after people who were involved in a riot? Or is it rather to target people who they've decided to target afterwards? So I think that point was made really clearly to the jury.
And about Sergeant Detective Laplante, who is also one of the witnesses of the Crown, what did he bring forth into this trial?
Sergeant Detective Laplante is not just a witness, but he's also the chief investigator. He's the officer who sits beside the Crown during the entire trial. He basically commented on the video, gave a global perspective. He admitted a lot of interesting things. He admitted that in terms of my conduct, I never threw a rock. I wasn't part of this black bloc. He even said at one point that I acted quite responsibly by helping move a vehicle out of the way. And according to his own testimony, so this is even before my own defense, according to his own testimony, all I did at the demonstration was give a speech, talk to other demonstrators, and hand out flyers. But he claims that I'm a leader. And he bases me being a leader on the fact that I gave a speech. I asked him, didn't other people give a speech? He agrees, but he doesn't consider them to be leaders. And he believes that a leader should leave the demonstration. And I asked him, so is it your testimony that when the going gets tough, the leader should get going? And he said, yeah. And I felt like saying, after that, is that the leadership strategy of the Montreal Police? But I didn't, because I didn't want to be too sarcastic in front of the jury. But I felt like saying that. It's a joke. I mean, first of all, I wasn't a leader in terms of telling people what to do. I might have played an active role in terms of giving a speech. But, you know, people play different roles at demonstrations. And that's one of the roles I played. So, again, the jury, I think at that point, was somewhat perplexed, because this is their Crown witness, and he's admitting all these things in our case. And again, for Jonathan, who's the third co-accused, he hasn't even been mentioned to date. So we'll see what comes up for him.
And was there any sort of irregularities that happened today during the trial this morning?
Well, not an irregularity. There's one juror who's... who had to go to the hospital last night and didn't show up this morning. And as a defense team, we discussed it, and we're comfortable with proceeding with 11 jurors. Those things happen, and according to the law, you can have as few as 10 jurors. So just as long as two others don't get sick or anything, we should be fine. And I'm pretty confident that, you know, the jury will use its common sense and acquit us.
There's an officer that has begun testifying.
Yeah, I'm going to be cross-examining him when we get back from the break here. And the judge was quite harsh with him because he wanted to give a lesson to the jury about being a riot officer. And that's not the point. You know, we can get those lessons somewhere else. The point is, what did you see and what did you do? And we'll be pointing out a lot of inconsistencies. Pascal Escarbot, the lawyer for Jonathan and Christina, he'll be doing a lot of work on that. He's actually preparing. I'll be just posing a few questions because you might have noticed he never mentioned me once in his testimony, which is not a surprise because I wasn't involved in any riot. So why would any riot officer see me, you know? I wasn't anywhere near any of those things. So another interesting thing is he admits that people who were trying to disperse, they were trying to block them. So it kind of helps support our argument, which is that the police were actually making things a lot worse. You make things a lot worse by provoking people. You make things a lot worse by putting horses into a crowd. You make things a lot worse when people are trying to leave a demonstration and you block them off. So we'll try to point out those inconsistencies. And again, I think the jury, even during the Crown's own case, is sitting there and they're wondering, when are we going to hear evidence that makes these people out to be as dangerous as you make them out to be? And the fact is, the jury's going to sit perplexed for another couple of days because they're never going to hear that evidence. This is a joke. And we really need to convey that to people, how much of a farce this trial is. It's a farce, but at the same time, for Christina, myself, and Jonathan, and actually for hundreds of other people in Montreal who are dealing with the courts, it's not a farce because our lives are hanging in the balance. We got to deal with the courts and deal with the expense and deal with the human energy and the anxiety of the court system. But as I pointed out, it's also a bit of a compliment because it shows that they're worried about our resistance. And I'm hoping that a not guilty verdict by a jury in a political protest trial at the end of 3 weeks will send a loud message out there that the police have been wrong. Because up until now, we get guilty verdicts only before judges. This is the first time we've had a jury. So if we win this one, it'll send a really clear message and it'll be a great victory. And I hope it'll help give some morale and a boost to anybody else who's facing these charges, these kind of charges.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.